Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Word of the Week takes an in-depth look at important Bible words so we might increase and deepen our understanding of God's Word of Truth. We pray that these brief studies will enable you to get more out of your daily reading and hearing of God's Holy Word.
Welcome back to the Word of the Week Podcast on Burden and Blessing. We're continuing our series of Lenten words as we look today at the word atonement, or more specifically, the doctrine of vicarious atonement. The word atonement is one that comes up only in the Old Testament, although we'll see that the concept of atonement is certainly alive and well in the New Testament. We might think primarily of the book of Leviticus when we consider atonement. That word comes up 49 different times there in Leviticus, and it always is pointing at the same thing, a sacrifice that was made for sin. Now, the word itself, atonement, means to appease, to make amends, to remove something. The basic definition of the Hebrew word was to cover or conceal a matter. When it comes to sin, God has appeased it. He's made amends. He's covered it by the sacrifice of His Son. And in the Old Testament, atonement was such an important theme because God was keeping His people focused on that messianic sacrifice, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would come and suffer for the sins of the world as the sacrifice in that sense. And so He called His people in their worship lives to make regular sacrifices to make atonement for their sins. The word vicarious we usually put on the front of atonement means substitutionary. A vicar is someone who takes the place of someone else, or someone who stands in for someone else. And so vicarious atonement tells us that Christ has stood in for us when it came to paying for our sins, when it came to making amends or appeasing God's righteous wrath because of our sins. A very influential section in the Old Testament dealing with atonement is Leviticus chapter 16. And on Leviticus 16, God called His people to observe a single day every year called the Day of Atonement, when they would really focus and worship concerning the forgiveness of their sins. In fact, that festival is still celebrated today by Jewish individuals. They call it Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Those are the literal Hebrew words meaning day and atonement. The Jewish individuals today celebrate that in the month of September. But we, as Christians who trust Christ as that sacrifice, we often think of atonement around this time as we walk the road to Calvary with our Savior when He made payment for those sins and fulfilled all those Old Testament promises. The Day of Atonement was significant, though, because it gave us some very stunning illustrations of what this sacrifice for sins would be like. The high priest would come before the people on that day and bring two goats. One goat would be sacrificed immediately as a sin offering. The priest would put his hands on the goat and confess the people's sins and make that bloody sacrifice on the altar. The other goat we're probably more familiar with was the scapegoat. The priest would again put his hands on the goat and confess the sins of the people, but instead of sacrificing the goat, a strong man would lead the animal out into the wilderness to a designated position where it would be left without food, water, and it would perish out there in the wilderness, thus symbolizing how God, through forgiveness in Christ, takes our sins away from us forever and removes them. You think of Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. That was the symbol of the scapegoat. And those things would all take place on the Day of Atonement, and the book of Leviticus tells us about this. Think of the Day of Atonement really as a Old Testament picture of what happened on Good Friday in the New Testament. I mentioned earlier that the word atonement does not come up in the New Testament, but certainly the teaching and the thought does. Jesus talked about in His ministry how His Father had sent Him to do work, to accomplish something, and He was talking about atonement, setting things right between mankind and God. In fact, in John chapter 17, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father, he said this, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Later on, he would say, "My prayer, Father, is that I would be in them and you would be in me, and that they," his followers, "would be made perfect." Jesus was talking about atonement. In fact, the Greek words he used there are actually used in the Greek version of the Old Testament to translate the word atonement. Jesus was talking about setting things right. Think of atonement as making things at one with God. In the actual word there, you have a definition where Jesus took the imbalanced relationship of our sins before a righteous God, and he set it at level again. He made it at one. We are now heirs of God's kingdom because we are righteous in Christ. We are perfect like our Heavenly Father. That was the work that Jesus came to do. And when he was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," Jesus was putting his stamp of approval on atonement. He was declaring in victory that he had atoned for the sins of the world. Truly, as Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity." Jesus Christ is the one who has provided it.
We encourage you to listen for a new word each week on Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we believe and confess that every word of God is true. Until next week, be assured that God's word is truth and is more precious than gold.